Discover the wondrous of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatam al nabiyyin. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again in our new episode of our program which is entitled as Islam and Science, a program that is dedicated to pondering in the science of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the science of nature, so that we can look at them and enhance our faith, enhance our spirituality and believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. This program, dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we've divided into four interesting segments. The first segment is the topic of the day, where we bring a topic and we talk about it from scientific perspective, as well as we link it to religious perspective, Islamic point of view as well, regarding that very topic we bring before you. Then, dear viewers, the second segment of our program is Medical Science and Islam, a segment in which we listen to a message from a professional doctor and we discuss it. Then we move on to the third segment of our program, which is Science for People. And in this segment, we discuss a verse of the Holy Quran, we listen to its translation, and we discuss regarding the science that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for the mankind in that very verse. Then last segment of our program is Value Health Before Illness. And in this segment, we talk about a certain illness, a certain disease, and we bring awareness regarding that very illness, and we discuss how to remedy that illness as well. So this is how we have broken down our program into four segments. We hope that you will stay with us from start to end, because today's topic, again, is a very interesting one, and every single segment, the content today is very, very interesting as always. Today's topic, subhanAllah, is very closely related to our body, very closely related to spirituality as well, and something that not only Islam emphasizes upon, encourages us to adopt, but science today also testifies to the fact that adopting to this very measure, this very subject that we will be discussing today, is very, very beneficial for our health. And the topic, dear viewers, that we will discuss today is the benefits of hunger. SubhanAllah. Benefits of hunger is our topic of discussion today, dear viewers. But before we delve deeper into it, I would request all of you to please make some good intentions in order to reap maximum reward. And as always, we have our honorable brother Rizwan Rashid Attari with us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. As always, Rizwan bhai, alhamdulillah, we've try to bring another interesting and fascinating topic for our viewers of Madani Channel. And today, as we were discussing previously as well, that what should we talk about and which subject should we bring now? And this again caught my attention, especially from the perspective of how closely it is related to our body and the amazing benefits it contains. When you talk about hunger, many people perhaps wouldn't be aware of how beneficial it is for our health and how greatly Islam also emphasizes upon it, how greatly we've been encouraged in Islam to also bear hunger, and how beautifully, subhanAllah, science is telling us that how amazingly it helps our body. So I'm very, very excited to discuss this topic. And without any further delay, I know you've got a lot of preparation behind today's topic, which you are, you're eager to deliver. So without any further delay, please. Benefits of hunger.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. First of all, I would like to just talk about in the start of this program that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator.
Indeed.
And this program is Islam and Science. So start with this word that who is the creator has given us some arkan in deen. Right? And in our Islam, we've got five pillars of Islam. And every ibadah has got something to do with any kind of wisdom behind it. There is some sort of logic behind it. whether we understand or not, okay, but there is,
of course.
Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, if we know the logic, fair enough. If we don't know, yet we need to believe and we have to practice what have been ordered to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Indeed.
But ulama, scholars, they have mentioned many reasons, many logics, many wisdoms behind different forms of worships. And if you talk about salah, there are so many wisdoms and logics, reasonings behind why this form of ibadah, in how many benefits, physical and spiritual, it serves. Then hajj is there, then charity is there, and so on and so forth. But especially when it comes fasting, that is to do with being hungry for a certain period of time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this ibadah, especially those viewers who are interested in science and students of science, they would be very fascinated today when they will find out that how many reasons and the logic and the wisdom hidden behind this form of worship is, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded Muslims to do. And not only Muslims, in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this was also a practice in the previous Ummahs.
Yes, Ummahs indeed.
Right? So, we will find out today that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it compulsory for us, that what benefits today in this day and age, modern science and research, when it talks about the benefits, the physical benefits, health benefits, mental benefits, what we can find today through fasting. But again, I would like to just mention this point that Islam is a moderate religion. Okay, it talks about moderation, i'tidal. See, there's no afrat and tafreet. You see, the two extremes are not in Islam. So, alhamdulillah, this is the reason why the fasting is only fard in 1 month throughout the year. And also, it is fard upon those that are abled.
Okay, so there are certain conditions.
Also, those that are ill or those they are traveling, or there are certain exceptions, okay, it is not fard upon them. And twice a week, it's the sunnah of Rasulullah, right? And Monday and Thursday, Rasulullah used to fast. Then we've got wide days of fasting, 13th, 14th, and 15th, right? These are the days. And then different Anbiya Kiram, they fasted differently. Okay, they would break fast one day and they would fast second, and that's how they would repeat the sequence. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and some months would fast excessively,
right,
and some he would break fast. And this is the religion which talks about moderation. So again, science also talks about if you have got severe, very long periods of fasting, it can also have negative effects on your health, right? But if it is certain, you can say in moderation, if you fast, okay, and it's not like consecutive, very, very long periods, okay, and then definitely it has got many, many benefits. This is what we are going to, inshallah, discuss today. Masih Abbas Bhai, if we talk about the health benefits of the fasting, right, so we can talk about that this has been recognized, alhamdulillah, in this day and age, in recent years, scientific research provides the evidence for many health benefits, right?
Right.
And for example, if we talk about the very first one, one of the most well-known benefits of fasting is weight loss. Many viewers today, they could be thinking that I want to lose weight, okay? And alhamdulillah, this is one of the beautiful ways the science, the research proves that fasting can help individuals reduce their calorie intake.
Right.
And which can lead to a reduction in body weight and body fat. Studies have shown that fasting can improve metabolic health by reducing insulin resistance, blood sugar levels, and inflammation. So, alhamdulillah, when we are following the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and today's modern research is saying when you fast, okay, then this benefit you can have. You
and
can.
These are very common issues that we face in our society.
Obesity, they can be addressed.
Diabetes, insulin, you were talking about, sugar levels, blood pressure, all these to some extent could also be related to overconsumption of eating.
Definitely. And then further, nowadays, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, it's been very common. And improved cardiovascular health is also related away the fasting. Fasting has been shown to have beneficial effects on cardiovascular health. It can help lower blood pressure, improve lipid profile,
right,
and reduce the risk of heart disease.
SubhanAllah.
Right. And studies have shown that the fasting can reduce stress also, which is a major contributor to the development of cardiovascular disease. Now, alhamdulillah, this beautiful ibadah, what we perform in Ramadan, what we perform in normal months also, in normal weeks also, voluntarily we fast, and it can benefit us. It can benefit our heart also. And then there is a hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, "Sumu tasihhu," fast and you will get health. Okay, and this is the practical example of this day and age when the science is also doing a research and it's endorsing the fact that this is related with physical health. No doubt there are so much written about the spiritual health, the health of the heart, you see, the softness of the heart that is related to your hunger, that is related to fasting and having self-control, right? Having self-discipline, okay? And getting khushu and khudu in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spiritually uplifting yourself, okay? Just reducing your temptations, your desires, right? And minimizing them and getting more closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we'll discuss. There are so many spiritual benefits which have been discussed, but today, in this day and age, modern science is talking about the physical benefits also.
And many people have also been prescribed this as a medicine for them, as a treatment for them, intermittent fasting, you know, and many other ways of basically being hungry has been prescribed to many patients for the remedy of the illnesses that they are facing.
Absolutely right. And then further, you would be surprised to know that as we've talked about to counter obesity, lose weight, okay, it helps, alhamdulillah. And we also learned about the heart diseases, it helps to reduce that. But you would be surprised to know that cancer prevention, it is also linked with hunger. It is also linked with fasting. Fasting has been shown to have potential benefits for cancer prevention and treatment. Studies have found that fasting can help reduce the risk of cancer by reducing inflammation and oxidative stress. So subhanAllah, this also tells us that to reduce, if we want that, how can we prevent cancer? Alhamdulillah, if we follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we follow the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, if we every now and then, whenever it is possible, we fast and we do not overeat, we do not satiate ourselves to the full stomach, right? And we can find many, many benefits which are linked with our physical health, with our health of our heart, health of our mind, health of alhamdulillah, overall body, especially in terms of today's day and age, the cancer is very high, right? And alhamdulillah, this is also proven through research what we've discussed. Then improved brain function.
Right.
As we mentioned, that fasting is also shown to have positive effects on brain function. Allahu Akbar. Studies have found that fasting can improve cognitive function, increase neuroplasticity, and reduce the risk of diseases such as Alzheimer and Parkinson. See, Alzheimer and Parkinson, these are the diseases that people they are facing. They are linked and they are very high also in this day and age. But alhamdulillah, if you fast, if you do not satiate yourself to the full stomach and you are not habitual of overeating, because when you are going, we are talking about hunger, we are talking about fasting, and what is the opposite of it?
Okay. Overeating.
Overeating, okay. And eating full stomach and not controlling your diet. And all those will have negative effects, which will increase heart diseases, risk of heart diseases, which will increase risk of mental health issues, which will increase risk of cancer preventions. The cancer diseases linked with cancer. And we learned about Alzheimer. And later in age, you can have, you see, that is linked with forgetfulness, you forget things, okay? And further, the Parkinson also. So these are the diseases, alhamdulillah, if you want to prevent yourselves from these diseases, today's modern science and research is telling that if you fast, this will help you.
SubhanAllah. So Rizwan, fasting is one thing, how we can observe hunger. But then, for example, we're not fasting, right? But yet we've taken a meal. Now, a trend nowadays that we see is between meals, for no reason, we just start eating.
Yeah, munching.
We start munching, we start taking snacks for no reason. And we think that it is beneficial for us. Whereas it is working negatively for our metabolism, for our digestive system.
Absolutely right.
So even once we've taken a meal, we should act upon the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where we've been instructed to keep one third of our stomach empty. And we should only eat when we're feeling hungry.
And one third should be food, one third should be water, and one third should be air.
And we should only eat when we are feeling hungry, and stop eating when we are still hungry.
This is the wonderful principle, mashallah, you brought into discussion.
And this is something that keeps even doctors away. If only we can do this. Now, the problem is we do completely opposite. We eat just for the sake of it, even when we're not hungry, even when we've taken a meal. And we don't stop until we literally physically cannot
breathe.
Exactly. Some people, they, what do they say? Some people eat to live, but then some people live to eat.
Live to eat, yeah.
So this is where we need to understand also, I think, where the food that Allah has given us, this should be consumed for the purpose of keeping our back straight. For the purpose of surviving. Have only as much as is needed for you to function properly, to worship Allah Almighty properly. If we overeat, eventually, of course, we will then fall prey to various diseases, as you've mentioned.
And if a person who is not conscious on his diet, he is eating whatever is in front of him, and he's eating too much, and he's not controlling between the meals, he's eating late, right? And he doesn't have no sequence, right? And he's not fasting, he's not thinking about anything with hunger, okay? The reason is because he does not have those ahadith in his mind, which will motivate him to be hungry. He doesn't have those spiritual benefits, inshallah, which we will discuss, okay, in his mind, which will motivate him to fast or to keep himself a bit of hungry. But at the same time, there are so many physical benefits which we are discussing today, okay? And today's modern science and research is talking about that one who has this habit of fasting in his daily routine life, and inshallah, this will help many, many, many diseases to prevent. And if we get motivated through modern research and science, at the same time, we will have the benefits, which are spiritual benefits. On top of that, we will have the benefits of the rewards of the hereafter, because we'll be following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment. We'll be following the fara'id and wajibat and sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, following the practice of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And who knows us better than our Creator, who has created us?
Indeed.
Okay. And if He has given us this commandment, so there are so many benefits. I would like to just bring this also benefit into discussion, that fasting has been shown to have anti-aging effects, which may be related to its ability to reduce oxidative stress and inflammation.
Right.
Allahu Akbar. So, Wasim Basmi, these are the beautiful points. What we can today, people are spending a lot of money. Okay, they're taking anti-aging medicines and they're doing treatments and all that. Okay,
it still doesn't work.
But Alhamdulillah, if we follow, okay, the commandment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, if we fast, and again, I'm not saying that the very long and going to that extreme level of hungry, but again in moderation, whatever is the time. So inshallah, we will benefit. And then there is one more interesting research which is in front of me, which will help viewers to understand how many physical benefits they are linked with fasting. One of the key mechanisms by which fasting promotes natural healing is through autopathy, right? And autopathy is a process by which the body breaks down and recycles damaged or dysfunctional cells.
Right.
This is a process of autopathy. So whatever the dysfunctional cells are there, okay, so the body breaks down and recycles those damaged and dysfunctional cells and cellular components. During fasting, the body undergoes a process of autophagy, which allows it to clear out damaged cells and regenerate new.
Subhanallah.
So this is, subhanallah, this helps to promote autophagy, which is very much crucial for our body. Okay, whatever the dead cells are there, or those cells which are damaged or dysfunctional, okay, to remove them and to generate new cells in our body so that our body can function well. Mm. So we need autophagy, and fasting promotes that process of autophagy.
So if I've understood you correctly, if this process does not go on, so the space is occupied by dysfunctional cells, by the dead cells, and there's no room for the new ones to be grown.
Body keeps on trying to process this, okay, within the body, but fasting promotes that process.
Subhanallah.
Okay, it helps that process to function well. Mm. Okay, so it means if you will not be fasting, so this process would be slow down, maybe. Okay, it will not function as it should function. It will not be promoted as it should do, but it helps to promote the natural healing through autophagy. So alhamdulillah, those they fast, automatically the autophagy, the process of this removal of the dysfunctional cells, damaged cells, and regenerating the new cells. So this is another beautiful benefit of fasting. Now, stem cells activation. The modern research talks about it, that fasting has also been shown to activate stem cells, which are specialized cells that can differentiate into various types of cells and tissues. When stem cells are activated, they can help to repair and regenerate damaged tissues and organs, promoting overall health and longevity. Now, this is another beautiful way of understanding fasting, that stem cells activation is also done through fasting. And subhanallah, this is needed for our overall health, right? And to regenerate cells, okay? This process is needed, and then it activates our stem cells. And then hormonal changes. So I keep on talking about different modern researches, okay? I'm bringing into discussion today because we're talking about fasting and Islam and science, okay? So we are learning that what modern science is talking about, this very element of being hungry for a certain period of time. And this is what Islam is telling us, from Subh Sadiq to sunset. Okay, we need to remain hungry. And this keeps on changing. Sometimes days are smaller, sometimes they are longer, sometimes they are moderate, right? And subhanallah, this is the beauty of Islam, and it encourages us to follow. And then indirectly, it helps to function our body well, as it should do. And the Creator has given us this practice. And alhamdulillah, today modern science is talking about even, there must be hormonal changes. Fasting can also lead to changes in hormones levels,
right,
which can promote natural healing process. Okay, if any cut comes on to our hand or something, it naturally heals. The body has got the ability to heal itself. And slowly and gradually, that scar or that wound gets healed up, isn't it? So to do this, there's a whole mechanism that works behind it, right? There are certain hormones, and these, they are required. This process is a healing process, okay? And that is promoted naturally through fasting, subhanallah, in the body. For example, fasting can increase levels of growth hormone, which can help to repair and regenerate tissues, increase muscle mass, and improve bone density. Subhanallah. Fasting has also been shown to improve insulin sensitivity. Subhanallah. This is also, which can help to regulate blood sugar levels and prevent metabolic disorders such as diabetes. Allahu Akbar. Right? So again, as we're talking about that, there are certain restrictions, okay? It's not that excessive and very, very long hours of fasting and for longer period, okay? Not being dehydrated and all that, that is a separate case. Okay? Everything comes with its negatives and positives, but we are talking about the positive effects which the modern research is talking about, subhanAllah, and which we will benefit Subhanallah. And reduce inflammation. Those, they are the medical students, they would understand that most of our diseases, they are linked with inflammation.
Right.
Most of the diseases, okay, right. Our organs, our body parts, they are inflamed. And inflammation that causes many, leads to many, many, many diseases. So reduced inflammation, that is also linked with fasting. Inflammation is a natural process of the immune system to injury or infection, right? However, chronic inflammation can contribute to the development of many diseases, including cardiovascular disease, cancer, right? Fasting is also shown to reduce inflammation in the body, which may be due to its effects on autopathy and the immune system. So the immune system, what we have got, okay, it also helps our immune system, fasting, and then it helps the autopathy, that process. And I think probably that's the reason that is also helpful for the reduction of the inflammation.
SubhanAllah. These are the wonderful medical benefits, mashallah, that you've been shedding light on. But if we further delve deeper into it, the spiritual benefits that we see, the religious benefits that we see in observing hunger, subhanAllah. You see, the element of humility and submissiveness, khushu' and khudu' in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who's satiated, someone who's eaten to his fill, and then imagine him standing to offer nawafil. And this phenomenon can also be observed in Ramadan when in iftar we eat to, you know, like it is the last meal of our life, and we just eat all the fried stuff and everything. And then when we go for Taraweeh Salah, how difficult it is for us to offer all 20 Taraweehs, and people keep on burping, and you can see the entire environment is not very pleasant at that time. So the element of spirituality is very important in this, that if you want to have that element of humility and submissiveness in the court of Allah, the element of focus that you should have when you present yourself in the court of Allah, when you perform those sujood, when you are trying to cry in the court of Allah Almighty, it is very, very important to have that feeling of hunger in you. If you are full, then imagine with a bloated stomach and with, you know, those feelings, you can't even worship with full focus and full So Islam greatly encourages us to adopt hunger. And as you mentioned, the medical, the scientific benefits, the great spiritual benefits as well. In fact, great spiritual benefits cannot be obtained without having hunger.
Absolutely.
Without observing hunger.
Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has talked in detail about this. Okay. He has written 7 benefits of hunger. And he has talked about this subject in detail. Right? And I would like to just pick few of the wisdoms, what he has shed light upon, and he talks about that. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, talks about the benefits of hunger. He says, it helps safa'ul qalb. The purity of heart is attained through hunger, through fasting. Okay, and if we want the purity of heart, this is the very, very important need for every believer, every mu'min, okay, to have the clarity of the heart and the purity of the heart, because this is the heart which will be seen in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Salim, Qalb Salim is seen in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our apparent body, okay, our mal, our wealth, okay, that is not what is seen in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, our heart, our qalb is seen in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have that spirituality, to have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to cling our heart. This is why Islam has focused a lot about, you see, doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clean our heart, will remove the rust of our heart, will make it soft, the hard heart. It's another subject in Islam, okay, which talks about the hardening of the heart, okay, and how to make it soft, how to make it soft, you see, and then is one of the ways to make your hard heart to a soft heart, okay, and to have clarity of the heart and purity of the heart is through hunger, is through fasting. And when you have that, then you can have that lazzat of iman, the taste of your faith, okay, and then You can have that focus and concentration in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you were talking about having khushu and khudu in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many viewers, they could have experienced that if they eat late, okay, and after Salatul Isha, if they eat, okay, and to the level of satiation and they eat full stomach, it becomes harder for them to stand in Salah. Okay, and some unfortunate ones would miss even Salah.
Indeed.
Okay,
and also you were mentioning about how even medically we are told not to leave hunger for a very, very lengthy period of time, of course, because there could be negative impact of it. And the Prophet ﷺ also forbade a companion of the Alan from Yom Evisal, from Sawm Evisal, yeah, not to fast continuously, as in when the fast is broken, then you keep the next fast without eating anything because they were following the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say?
Ayyukum mithli.
Allah subhanahu. Who amongst you is like me?
Subhanallah.
You know, Allah feeds me. And so the Prophet ﷺ also forbade from this very practice, which also shows that all wisdom, the Prophet ﷺ is the source from where the branches of wisdom are spread.
No doubt.
And that's where, alhamdulillah, we also come to know that science is also telling us that there should be an element of moderation, as also found in prophetic tradition.
I was talking about the fact that you become very lethargic and very tired and very heavy when it comes when you're full stomach and you feel drowsy and you feel tired and you want to sleep and then it affects your ibadah.
Of course.
The awliya Allah, they used to eat less. And one of the reasons behind was so that they can perform more ibadah at night. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has practiced, when we look at that, there was the days when there was nothing at the blessed house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has faqad, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam chose this life. Okay? And his hunger was opted. Okay? It was not that
chosen.
He opted this for himself. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam, if we wanted, the mountains would turn as gold. The valleys would turn as gold for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But he chose this because he knew, okay, what is helpful to get more closeness and proximity in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other many reasons, because he is the best role model. Right, and we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And you see, the hunger is one of the basic necessities also. But if that gets fulfilled, so the next desire is lust. Lust and hunger, when you fulfill them, okay, what will happen? Okay, if you fill your stomach, then you will have more temptations. Okay, more desire of lust. Okay, and if that is not done through halal means, astaghfirullah, then it will lead to so many social issues and problems. And not only that, but again, that from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
that will lead a person to destruction.
And lead towards Jahannam also. And that is the separate case. But we are talking about that they are linked. And then when they are satisfied, then you go towards fame. Okay? Then you go towards wealth. See, all of those intoxications, okay, if you name them, that would be the right and appropriate way to call them. When you get into these and you get addicted to all these intoxications, then you go and deeper and deeper and deeper, and then you go away from the real spiritual world, from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from ibadat.
Because you don't care whether you're earning that through halal or haram, all you want is just gain it, whether it is from, even if it is from haram sources. Yeah.
And then this is, that gets you distracted, and then you lose the real purpose. So in order to control your nafs, you have to control your stomach. And this is one of the best ways, you see, to control the horse of the nafs. The awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, they used to have the reins of hunger. That's how they used to control this this horse of nafs.
And also in one narration, we've been told to control lust through fasting.
Through fasting, yeah, that helps. And you would absolutely figure it out. You would observe it personally, that when you are full stomach, Okay, yeah, the temptations and the lustful desires, they aggravate.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas it is the opposite case, when you are hungry, okay, then your desire is to eat. Okay,
you don't think of anything else.
You don't think of anything else.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah is one. Mr. Devious, we've beautifully covered the subject of hunger, that how beneficial it is for us, for our physical life as well as our spiritual life. And mashallah, Brother Rizwan has explained beautifully from both perspectives, in both spectrums, that how important and beneficial it is for us to observe hunger and make sure that we don't go towards temptations which can lead to our ruin in this world and in the hereafter. And hunger is also from treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He bestows upon His chosen servants.
How much time do we have for the next segment?
If you have something to share, please go.
I've got so many beautiful pearls regarding spirituality.
Ji, please.
It helps us to self-discipline ourselves.
Right.
To self-control ourselves, as we were discussing, right? The willpower, it increases. Right. When a person who fasts, and it helps him to improve his willpower. And mental toughness, it also helps. It improves the time management also. Those skills also. In Ramadan, you've got in the prescribed timing, you start your fasting at the time, you open your fast, okay, then 5 daily prayers are there. Okay, everything is linked with time. And when you follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, and it also sets your routine, when to eat, when not to eat. Okay, this helps the time management skills. And people are doing courses on all those subjects. But this also helps. And then strengthening the faith and devotion, this also helps. Okay, and when you follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you kill the desire for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this strengthens your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, you're doing it for Allah. Okay, everything is in front of you. In Ramadan, nobody is watching you. Okay, fridge and freezers, they are full of food.
You can eat,
okay, you can eat if you want. Okay, but you don't, because you know Allah is watching. This is another self-recognition and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is watching us, who is seeing us. And this is another concept which helps us during the fasting. Okay, for example, on Monday, if you're fasting, if you don't tell, I won't be able to know whether you're fasting or not. This is another way of doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without ostentation, without showing off. So this is the reason why fasting is much loved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you do this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the people. If it is jama'at, people may know you're going to masjid. Okay, if you're giving charity, at least that person knows who you are giving a charity. Okay, so if you're going to Hajj, people will know you are doing a Hajj. There are so many different forms of ibadat where ostentation can step in. But this is the ibadah, tahajjud salah, when you do alone and you stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is much loved in the court of Allah? The reason is lillahiyat. The reason is you're doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fasting is also being hungry also. If you want to eat, one is you don't have food in front of you. Okay, you're destitute. You don't have
food. No choice.
There's no choice. That is different. But if you have got everything available in front of you, you don't do it. This is called self-control, self-discipline, and lillahiyat, and doing something for Allah, strengthening your faith and devotion for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then one of the most important benefits it serves, the fasting, especially in Ramadan and Kareem, is having the sense of empathy. Right. Okay. And this is something, the compassion, love for others, those they're less fortunate, those they don't have enough to eat, clean water to drink. Okay, they don't only have one meal a day, or maybe 2-3 days, they don't have nothing. And when you put yourself into their shoes, when you realize how does it feel like when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, okay, then you realize, then you give charitable gifts, then you help them, then you support them, then you give sadaqah, then you give, and this eventually helps the economic system and helps those that are in need. Okay, this is another way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to feel the pain of those who are feeling the pains of hunger. And this is another way of getting closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the social benefit, it is what we can understand. The economic benefit, what we can understand. And then further, the connectivity, the social benefits, Okay, mm-hmm. What are scientific benefits? What is a physical benefit? What is spiritual benefit? What is social benefit? Social system and being connected to each other, okay, looking after each other, helping each other, mm-hmm. okay? And this is also important because we are living in a society where we need this social system. And when Ramadan al-Kareem comes, people, they fast together, they eat together, they do iftar together, okay? They do communal prayers together. And that sense of connectivity, the socially being connected to each other, subhanallah, all that helps.
Yeah. The beautiful pearls of wisdom that you've shared, you've mentioned the scientific benefits, the physical benefits, the social benefits, the economic benefits, subhanallah, how many wisdoms there are. This is indeed from Allah Almighty. And as mentioned earlier, dear viewers, that hunger is from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon His chosen servants. Now, dear viewers, it is time for the second segment of our program, which is Medical Science and Islam. Let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us with uncountable bounties. I wanted to talk to you today about the beauty of tongue. It is only 4 inches in length, but did you know the tongue has the strongest group of 8 striated muscles which are intertwined with each other? And it is those intricate movements of this 4-inch of flesh with 8 different muscles, and that helps us produce over 10,000 languages which are spoken around the world. And this tongue, which has such strong qualities, including there can be up to 10,000 taste buds, and each taste bud has between 50 and 150 taste receptors. That is all happening in the tongue. And did you also know that tongue's imprint is unique to each human, just like our fingerprints or our iris in our eyes is? But look at the beauty of how incredible strength this tongue has, that it is that tongue which has been mentioned in the glorious Quran, when Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, he prayed to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for what? He said, wahlul uqdatam min lisani. And that tongue, which has such incredible powers, and science is still fascinated that how this small piece of flesh with such intricate group of muscles working together can produce so many sounds, so many syllables, and how this tongue learns to speak right from the young age of the baby, who is using this tongue from suckling milk all the way to producing this incredibly beautiful articulated structure of a sentence. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala teaches that baby how to learn. And then all around the world, with so many different cultures, with so many different languages, all uttered through tongue. And this is that same tongue which, if we use in the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this tongue can achieve what? One word which we say to someone else in order to help propagate thee, in order to undertake this massive role of Amrum bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala narrates for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam's conversation with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that one word can help us achieve 1 year's worth of worship reward. That is all through tongue. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to use our tongue. And each time when we use it, may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to be grateful to Him and say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear viewers, what great creation of Allah Almighty, subhanallah. It is only.
And also has beautifully explained, Allahu Akbar, each and every body part, the organ, what we have got, it is unique in its nature, in its creation, and it tells us the incredible creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It speaks loud itself. And as far as its functionality is concerned, Allahu Akbar. I know one of my friends, okay, and his son, he is mute. Okay, and he's not able to talk, and I can feel the pain he's going through, the family is going through, and they say that we just want to hear one word, okay, dad and mom, we are unable to hear that, okay, and this is the benefit of this tongue, okay, this is the ability to speak. Who has provided? That child also has the tongue in his mouth, but he is not able to speak. But if we are able to speak, it is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We never realized this.
This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us this tongue, this ability to speak. Although the people, they also have those, they are mute, they cannot speak, and they also have tongue in their mouth, but they are not able to speak. So we need to realize the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be grateful. But unfortunately, through the same tongue, we backbite, we tell, we slander, we lie. See, majority of the sins, they are linked with our tongue. Those viewers, those brothers, those sisters, they are watching. This is the platform. We would like to give you the sense of understanding, okay? And the message from here, they should go from this platform of Dawat Islami, this program, that please try to realize these ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us, we need to appreciate these ni'mas, these blessings. Because when a person does not appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are snatched, they are taken away.
The same piece of flesh can become a cause of a person's entrance into paradise or his entrance into hell.
No doubt.
So Allahu Akbar.
If you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you can come out of the darkness of disbelief and enter in the light of Noor of Islam. You can enter into Jannah, inshaAllah, if you die upon Iman and the right Aqeedah. But at the same time, astaghfirullah, if it can utter the words of disbelief, it can put us into ditches of destruction.
Allah, very beautifully mentioned, Rizwan Bhai. So dear viewers, beautiful, great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should use for the sake of Allah Almighty. Now it is the time for the third segment of our program, dear viewers, which is the signs for people. Let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
So dear viewers, today we've chosen verse number 5 of Surah Hajj. Let's go towards its recitation.
Ya ayyuhan nasu in kuntum fi raybin min al-ba'thi fa inna khalaqnakum min turab fa inna khalaqnakum ثم من نطفة ثم من علقة ثم من مضغة مخلقة وغير مخلقة لنبين لكم ونقر في الأرحام ما نشاء إلى أجل مسمى ثم نخرجكم طفلا ثم لتبلغوا أشدكم ومنكم من يتوفى ومنكم من يرد إلى أرذل العمر لكي لا يعلم من بعد بعلم شيئا وترى الأرض هامدة فإذا أنزلنا عليها الماء اهتزت وربت وأنبتت من كل زوج بهيج.
Translation from Ifham al-Quran, Kanzul Irfan. O people, if you are in doubt about the rising after death, then consider, we created you from soil, then from a droplet, then from congealed blood, then a lump of flesh, partly formed and partly unformed, so that we may show you our power, and we cause whomsoever we will to stay within the wombs of their mothers until a specified time. Then we bring you forth as newborns, and we increase you in age, so that you reach adulthood. Among you one dies before, and among you one is returned to the worst phase of age, so that he does not know anything after having knowledge. And you see the earth withered. Then when we send down water upon it, it moves and expands and brings forth every kind of beautiful vegetation. SubhanAllah. Rizwan bhai, this verse especially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings proofs for the resurrection in the hereafter for those who deny resurrection of the hereafter. So Allah Almighty mentions all the phases of the human developmental process, all the way from the lump of flesh and all that, which we've covered in detail before as well. So Allah Almighty mentioned that first we created you from soil. This is referring back to Prophet Adam alayhi salam. And then the other phases which we faced after Adam alayhi salam. So Allah Almighty mentioned all those phases, and then Allah Almighty mentioned that the Lord Almighty, who's able to create you from nothing, for him to create you again, it's not difficult, it's not impossible for him. So if he has created you from non-existence, which is comparatively more difficult than creating you again after, once you had been created, so your resurrection in the hereafter is not something impossible or difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Almighty gives this as a sign for the deniers of the of those
and
who...
It's a very logical reasoning also, as you remember. A painter who has painted a painting, right, once, it is easier for him to repaint that.
Of course.
Okay, to redesign it. Ji. You have already designed the structure. It is easier for you.
Beautiful example.
To redesign that structure, because that is already in your mind. That's how you do. But no example suits best to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Just for our understanding.
But just for our understanding, we are just understanding the fact that if, as Quran also reasons the same way, you see, subhanAllah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created once, so it is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And then the second example that Allah gave, the second proof that Allah established, was that when you see the earth withered, when you see the earth being barren and contracted, then when Allah sends down water, Allah sends down rain, now beautiful vegetation grows. So when you've seen the state of prosperity after the state of barrenness on the earth, when you've seen this, what makes you think that it would be difficult for Allah to resurrect you after you've died in the hereafter? So these beautiful signs Allah Almighty brings as proofs for those who deny resurrection in the
nothing hereafter. Is difficult for Allah. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadeer.
And this is truth that we will be resurrected in the hereafter. May Allah Almighty resurrect us with those who are His pious servants. Now, dear viewers, it is the time for the last segment of our program, which is Value Health Before Illness. Let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
So, dear viewers, the illness that we've chosen today is very common. Rizani, very commonly find amongst people, headache. Something that we pretty much all the time hear, they complain of many times. We face this issue many times. Other people face this issue. And this is very, very common factor. Now, what is headache?
Headache is a pain in your head or face that's often described as a pressure that's throbbing, constant, sharp, or dull. Headache can differ greatly in regard to pain, type, severity, location, and frequency. And Rizwanvi, did you know there are more than 150 types of headaches?
Allah.
More than 150 types. And all of them, they fall into two main categories. One is primary headaches and then secondary headaches. Okay. So primary headaches are not as serious as are the secondary headaches.
Right.
So whenever there's any primary headache, any kind of headache which falls under primary headache, it means that it is not a symptom or it's not caused by an underlying medical condition that exists. So it's not a result of any present illness that a person has. And this has then further been divided into tension type headaches, migraine headaches, cluster headaches, and new daily persistent headaches, NDPH, which we know them as. And some of the reasons why these occur is alcohol, consumption of alcohol, certain foods such as processed meats, consuming nicotine, changes in sleep or lack of sleep, poor posture. This can also result into primary headaches. And then we have secondary headaches. Now, an underlying medical condition causes secondary headaches. A medical condition which already exists that leads to secondary headaches. And they're considered a symptom or sign of a condition. Types of secondary headaches that aren't necessarily dangerous and resolve once the underlying condition is treated include dehydration headache, sinus headaches, and medication overuse headaches. And types of secondary headaches that can be a sign of a serious or potentially life-threatening condition include spinal headaches, and there's another type of headache is one way, which is called thunderclap headaches. These are very serious. These can become very serious. And if you talk about only thunderclap headaches, then this is a headache which is extremely painful headache that comes on suddenly like a clap of thunder. And this type of headache reaches its most intense pain within only 1 minute and lasts at least five minutes. And while thunderclap headaches can sometimes be harmless, it's important to seek immediate medical attention. Why? Because these type of headaches can be caused because of a head injury, brain bleed, or a sudden severe rise in blood pressure. So these could be the symptoms for it. So whenever you feel any of these, you should get medical advice straight away. And then some of the reasons why a person feels headache is work overload, futile debate and arguments, very common nowadays, then tension and anxiety, lack of sleep, increase or decrease in blood pressure, playing video games for very long period of times, then getting too exhausted, work stress, digestive disorder, constipation, dehydration, noise pollution, quarreling, weak eyesight, air pollution, neck strain, vomiting, infrequent toothache, drinking alcohol, having low sugar level, eating cold and sour food items, then watching TV for a long time, work on a laptop, computer, and using mobile phones for a long time, and staring at screens, especially in the darkness. These are just some of the reasons why people they get headaches. But again, there's different types of headaches, and some of them are serious than some others. So once you do fall prey to any kind of headache, what we should do is that we should try to treat them ourselves, because most of them are not very serious. But if the pain persists, then straight away we should seek medical advice, as this could become something very, very serious. This was our episode for today, where we covered quite a lot, and I hope you would have also learned a lot of fascinating and interesting information regarding hunger, how important hunger is, and then what we learn about headaches as well, and the beautiful verse of Surah Hajj that we covered today, and beautiful message of the medical professional that we also covered today. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah Almighty Amen. Keep us all healthy and keep us all within His shade of mercy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to ponder upon His signs and strengthen our faith. Ameen. Bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Discover the wonders of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.